Hey, it's Anthony LaPanta, play-by-play man for the Minnesota Wild and co-host of the Worst Seats in the House podcast. When we're not focused on hockey, I love to spend my free time in the kitchen. And before we prepare a great meal, I do my shopping at Kowalski's. Best in the Twin Cities when it comes to fresh meat. Awesome steaks. I love the Akiyushi steak line. It's as good as it gets. It's the best you'll get anywhere in the Twin Cities. I also love their fresh fish. It's unrivaled, the selection that they have. Also a great spot to get your fresh produce. It's worth the trip. Wherever you have to go to get yourself to a Kowalski's, you won't be disappointed by the quality of food that you acquire. And when it's time to have a great meal, you might as well start with the best raw products. So I do my shopping at Kowalski's. I recommend that you do too. It's Kowalski's, the joy of good food.
And I'm with my photographer who's laughing hysterically at me because I'm holding the mic and I'm sweating so badly in my palms. It's dripping down my arms. It's
oh my
just disgusting.
Gosh.
But I'm sweating and shaking.
We've been here before. COVID tries to steal hockey from us yet again, but never fear. Carol Evans, Dave Schwartz is ready to suit up for your hockey entertainment. Dave joins us to talk the sports broadcast and hockey coaching lifestyle, and Jesse and I debate best goal sellies. All that and more in episode 59.
Pay homage to the Met Center, Metrodome, Fogarty, or your favorite former Viking. What's up, Randy Moss Mooning? With any of Soda 6 Classics throwback tees. Looking to sip on a different flavor? Check out the McGolden Light Pond Hockey and Fishing Club merch line for that extra Minnesota flavor. Toss down that Bardome Beauties code at checkout for free shipping on all purchases at sodastick.com. Hello, everybody. What's going on? We're back. Episode 59. As Alexis mentioned, Dave Schwartz, our guest later on. But we have some news to talk about. Oz 1000.
Yeah.
You know, Alexis and I and Fred had discussed this earlier this week on our YouTube exclusive Reacts, where we talked about the Minnesota Wild going on a hiatus for their next four games, possibly five. As Michael Russo had reported, it might make sense for them to also not play that second game against St. Louis on Thursday. We'll see what happens with that. But the Wild obviously taking a step back, NWHL taking a step back. Find out all of our reactions on that. But I mean, Alexis, at the end of the day, as we see now, Colorado has moved into a protocol postponement as well, because naturally there's that domino effect, right? I mean, do you think it was good for the NHL to maybe get ahead of Colorado when they only had two players on the protocol list? I mean, Landeskog was added to it, along with I forget who it was, somebody else. But do you think it made sense for them to get ahead of it and say, let's postpone the Avs games, knowing that there's going to be more lists or more players added to that list a little bit, in hopes to like cut the bleeding off?
Probably. I mean, all of us are doing this on the fly, right? This is all new territory. Sure, we've been through this for the past year, but everybody is trying to do the best they can, trying to keep people the safest they can. And obviously, you know, they don't want to have to keep stopping and starting and stopping and starting, but the safety of and health is the most important. So they're doing what they think is best. And I suppose trying to get ahead of it, I mean, think about if they would have done that with the Wild. The Wild had how many more positive cases or players added to the list?
After Foligno, and then Nico Sturm was added, since the postponement.
Yeah, so I mean, you're playing a guessing game. You're saying, okay, we're assuming there's going to be more positive tests or more tracing that needs to put this on pause. And so, yeah, you're trying to get ahead of the game. I guess I don't have a problem either way. I just want them to keep the players the safest that they can without you know, throwing the season into too much of a whirlwind. So whatever balance that is, that's where my vote would go, which again, that's easier said than done. So I have no problem with them getting ahead of the game on it and trying to keep the players safe. So we'll see, you know, what the rest of the teams do as the season goes on, if they take the same approach, but I have no problem with it.
I mean, again, like you said, Alexis, the NHL doesn't have a playbook for this. None of us have a playbook for any of this, and they're trying their best, and they're trying to keep the players and the coaches and everybody in the organization and inside the facilities safe. The NHL recently unveiled some new tighter COVID protocols with air filtration systems because, you know, it's interesting. I read a study this morning that said hockey is probably at a higher risk because of the cold air and how the virus can stay stagnant in that cold air. So you've got guys on the ice who are bumping into each other, you're still all breathing that air on the bench and what have you. So again, that's a really tough situation to deal with. So they're going to remove the glass on the players' bench. They're going to have some sort of air filtration. They're going to hope that facilities and arenas that the NHL's teams play in can add into their filtration system and expand their distancing amongst team players and team activities, which it's a lot. And again, it makes me wonder, I mean, is it irresponsible to be playing? Again, selfishly, it's my job, so I want the game back, but I want everybody to be safe. I mean, Alexis, do you have any further thoughts? Like, should we wait this out and wait till the vaccine's available for everybody? I mean, what do you do?
I actually was asked and answered the same exact question on a different podcast earlier this week. And it's really hard question to digest and to sort through. And because again, you do, there's the selfish side of it where it's like, I love hockey. I want to watch and cover hockey and have something to talk about. And then there's the selfless side where you're saying, I want the players to be safe. I want the coaches and everybody to be safe. So is it better to just postpone it? But when I think about it as rationally as I can, combining those two and meeting somewhere in the middle, I think, how long can you really wait though, right? There's financial situations you have to consider as well. There's, you know, there's so many things that go into place when they talk about, okay, how are we going to do this season? The same questions that they had to have when they, you know, did the bubble season for the playoffs and whatnot. And so you can't wait forever, right? And we don't know when certain opportunities are going to become available, when a vaccine would be available for everybody. You just don't know. So they're trying to do it the safest that they can, and I respect that. So selfishly, I want things to be full steam ahead, but I understand that that's not the best option right now. And so they're trying to find somewhere in the middle where they're doing the season, but taking precautionary measures when they need to, even if that means postponing games, putting team seasons on hold, whatever it may be. So I respect the behind the scenes work that is going on to make this season go off safely. We know it's not going to be perfect. Nothing has been perfect this past year, but they're doing the best they can. And that's just kind of the way that I view it. So no, I don't think that they should wait. I don't think this should have been put off for months and months and months. But to do it safely is the most important thing.
Exactly. And again, we could probably talk on and on about this, but it's talking in circles because there is no perfect solution. There's no perfect answer to it. It's unfortunate. Again, the priority we saw with Marco Rossi, obviously returning home and having complications. You don't want complications to arise for any of these athletes or anybody involved in this later on. But I do, I think from the business standpoint, you have to move forward. You have to continue going because the NHL, as we've talked about, is not like the NFL, is not like the MLB, is not like the NBA. They don't have that money. I mean, yes, they're billionaire owners who own this, and yes, it is a multi-million dollar organization, but still, it's just not. They need to have the money. So speaking of kind of maybe not postponement, shift to a little bit happier news. The Minnesota State High School League is looking at, hopefully, fingers crossed, continuing on with winter sports championship tournaments and hockey, obviously, on that docket, pushing it out of March into April, which, hey, you know, April Madness has kind of a cool ring to it, right?
I hate the month of March anyway. They should push it out to April every year.
It's usually insane, but I mean, the XL Energy Center, again, hosting both girls and boys state hockey tournaments. Exciting, Alexis. I know you're around high school sports quite a bit. You've covered play-by-play for the high school teams this season. How great is that going to be for just these athletes to be able to hopefully, again, go on and play and maybe earn a title in their high school seasons?
Yeah, I know in the fall season, it was, you know, it was tough to see these kids go out and play knowing that they weren't going to have that postseason opportunity that, you know, is a big reason, if not the biggest reason, that these athletes want to play. You want to win those championships. You want to have those memories and experiences when you're in high school. That's what you play for. And especially, you know, with hockey here in Minnesota, that state tournament is just as big as anything else as far
as
sports
go. We can't not have it. Like, it's the one thing that we get to cherish and pride ourselves and puff our chests out a little
bit, right? So knowing that they took the postseason away from those fall sports, it was tough to cover it, you know, some nights knowing that there wasn't much to play for there. So when they did the wait and see approach here for the winter season, I really liked that approach more because you're not saying yes, you're not saying no, you're just saying let's see where these weeks and months take us leading up to it. So much can change in that time, both positively and negatively. And I think to call it off right from the start was a little premature in the fall. Granted, again, they were doing that because that's what they thought was safe and right. But I like like the way they've approached this winter season, to at least, you know, give these kids something to maybe look forward to, right? They're thinking, okay, we might have a postseason, and that's enough, I think, to get them through these seasons in one piece. And it's more fun, you know, covering these games, knowing that there might be a postseason. And if we get to April and they say, you know what, it's not safe, it's not the best decision, well, at least at that point, then we can be upset about it, but not, you know, months beforehand. So I know they just had a board meeting. So the week you guys are listening to this, the week before, they had a board meeting, kind of discussing some dates and trying to firm down things like that to see what that would look like. But still, you know, a couple months to go before that gets here. So we'll keep an eye on what that looks like. But fingers crossed that we get something for these kids this postseason.
Right. I will commend the high school league. I know a lot of times they get a lot of flack. Some of the things that they do aren't always great, but they are. They're trying to keep this around for the kids, because as we talk about with our guest, Dave Schwartz, I mean, it is. This is taking a toll on the kids. I think adults are able to maybe navigate all of this a little bit better than these younger athletes who have school and sports that are keeping them going, and socialization in general. Mm-hmm. They don't have proms and dances right now. So, yeah. I mean, I think anything that you can give them to eke a little bit of joy out of this is always great. And again, selfishly, it's fun for us to watch, right? We love that tournament. That tournament's awesome. That was literally the last live sport event I had covered before the season came back. It's definitely, hopefully, fingers crossed, like Alexa said, we will see. That's their goal. They're calling it a goal that they will have these tournaments in the state championship accordingly. But I like having it called a goal, because it's a goal that we can all strive to reach for. That's going to do it for our first segment for all of our news. Shout out to the Fab Five for rocking our jerseys at all of the high school games. We really, really appreciate it. That looks so cool. That's so awesome. I love when people, you know, we had Connor Beaupre notice it in the stands at one of the games, and he had mentioned it to us too. So that's really cool. So we appreciate all of their constant support and adoration. And those jerseys look sick. Thank you, Soda Stick. You guys are awesome. So that's our final shout out for that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Dave Schwartz.
Hey guys, it's producer Fred. Gentlemen, I want to take a moment and talk about your hedges. About your rough, your fairway, your greens, your front lawn, and backyard. Is it manicured enough to improve your overall curb appeal? Well, we want to introduce you to our new partner, Manscaped. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. They just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, waterproof for shower trimming, a premium battery and charging station. Manscaped has you and your sensitive areas covered. Get 20% off and free shipping when you use code BUTES at checkout. That's 20% off and free shipping when you use code BUTES, that's BEAUTS, at checkout.
Joining us now, Dad, leader of the Caprese name change of that line, possibly the Wild's hero up the middle. We don't know. Let's talk about it. Plus your favorite Saturday morning roll call, Mr. Dave Schwartz. Dave, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you guys for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. So what's been going on? I know we've had plenty of other media folks. We're a part of that. What has this year just kind of been like for you with all the ups and downs? I know you've done broadcasts from home. You're out covering sports, though, now that they're back. What's it been like?
I am a little disappointed that Kevin Faulness has been on before me, but I'll let that go, my good buddy Kevin.
You beat Dan Myers, though. We are still like, Dan is like, continues to move down.
I have
down
standards,
the list.
Jesse. Yeah. Come on. Thank you. It's been a weird year. It really has in a lot of senses. I have two kids and my wife works full time. So it has been nice being home in that respect, to spend more time with my kids and to not have to drive a half hour, you know, to work and drive home. And so that's been nice. But my job itself has been really non-personal. One of the things that I love about my job is that I get to go places and get stories and, you know, mix it up in the trenches like that. That's what's fun. One of the reasons I got into this is because I didn't want a desk job. You know, they're boring to me. I like to be out and about. And so it's taken that away, which has been a huge, huge bummer. Especially now that hockey season's here, not getting a chance to just shoot the bull in the locker room with the guys and chat and get stories and get angles and you know, what we live for, right? The little nuggets that make you go, oh, that's kind of cool. Exactly. And so that it's changed it that way a lot. And I understand why, but I miss that. I miss being at places. I miss being able to see you both at the rink, and I miss, you know, going to Vikings games with fans and people cheering and absorbing that energy, because it's fun and that's what, you know, makes our job so great. So it's been fun. It's been depressing at the same time. You know, like we've all kind of been through this roller coaster the last 6-7 months.
Right. You talk about those little nuggets. And I mean, can you just explain kind of the importance of that face-to-face interaction? I think, you know, I've tried explaining it to my husband. I'm like, you know, it's just the one-offs. Hey, how are you? You know, it's the putting the microphone away. I mean, why is that so important to our job and in telling those stories and then forming some of those relationships that extend beyond just the game, right?
Because, yeah, and I've had those same conversations with my bosses at times and why we have to travel to games, why we have to go to all these practices, because you have to show them that you're a human being too, and that you're not just, hey, here I am and I only want a soundbite from you and that's all I want. And sometimes it's just saying hello. Sometimes, you know, when Jason Zucker was here, it was him, you know, giving me the business every time I'm in the locker room
and talking
about his kids or, you know, little things, all sorts of fun stuff, the nuggets that you get. And you can't tell someone's story unless you know them on a personal level. Mm-hmm. And we're missing that. And you know as well as I do, these Zoom calls, they're not the same. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a friend who works in Nashville and he said, oh, Nick Bonino's great. You got to talk to Nick Bonino. He loves to cook. He did this fun bit in Nashville when he dressed up as this guy. And it sounded all great until I got Nick Bonino on a Zoom call. And there's and this isn't against Nick Bonino at all. Yeah. There was just no real character connection there. Mm-hmm. You know, as opposed to Marcus Foligno, who's one of my favorites, sitting in the locker room talking about fishing and about, you know, this giant bass he caught. You know, it's just we lose that. And so our ability to tell really good stories beyond the box score, which I think is really important, has kind of gone away throughout all this.
Well, and you even lose that face. You said there's new faces on the roster. Yeah. Like Nick Bonino doesn't know who I am at all because I'm just a byline right now, right? And so it is. Yeah. It's a bummer to miss that for sure. I'm with you there.
I haven't had a chance to say hi to Kirill Kaprizov in person, which just kills me.
I know, right? Have you practiced Russian? Are you going to introduce yourself or say something in Russian to him?
When I went to the Olympics in 2014, yay for me, plug, right?
Yeah.
I picked up a little bit of Russian that I'm trying really hard to remember. And I think all I knew how to say was hello, goodbye, and where's the bathroom? It was about the only
important
things I learned. Yeah. So I have to kind of go way back in my mind and remember, like, spasiba means thank you, I believe.
Yeah.
That's about all I can recall at this point, but you know, that's it. Like the connection, he'll remember, you know, he might remember the stupid idiot journalist who tried to say thank you to me and accidentally insulted my mother at the same time, you know, like that's the connection you make.
Yeah. So what would you say has been the biggest or hardest pivot for you as you find new ways to tell these stories and as you find new ways to connect with athletes virtually? I mean, we've had the same problems as we navigate a podcast, connecting with people over Zoom. Some people we've never met before, talked to before. It does create a lot of extra challenges. So what have you done to change the way that you bring stories to people?
You know, and it's funny that you asked that because I was just thinking about this today and how difficult it is to find story ideas now over Zoom, because I have this great idea that I wanted to do about a couple of high school hockey players. Well, it's like, okay, am I going to get the four of them on Zoom together, which is going to be a logistical nightmare because boxes pop up when they're not supposed to. And then we have to try to get video of them, except I can't go with my photographer because they want us to stay outside the building. So he's going to go in and he'll do a great job, but he's got to get the video. And it's logistically, it's so much harder. I have done more one interview stories in the past year than I've ever done in my life. Yeah. And that's just, it's not really a great story when you can't do, you know, talk to get more people and get more perspectives. I've done a lot more too in the boxes, which have been fun, which I do with the Wild guys. And we've kind of branched out now to others. So that's been really fun. It's always a nice way to get to know guys, but it is a lot harder. It is a lot challenging. I think all encompassing just to tell good stories through Zoom.
Right. It is. You lose so much of the personality sometimes, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes it takes a while to get that out. I mean, speaking of challenges, I wouldn't say it's a challenge, but you're a dad too. You're busy. You're on the go. You're coaching both of your kids in youth hockey. How is that endeavor going? How long have you been coaching for? And obviously, how has the season been with all the ups and downs and parents, I'm sure.
It's been interesting. This is my fourth or fifth year coaching my son on his team. This is my second year as his head coach. And then I am an assistant coach on my daughter's team, her 8U team. And they're just so much fun because, and I don't know if you know this, but I've coached both girls hockey and boys hockey. Girls are so much easier to coach than boys.
Yes.
Girls listen. Girls want to get better. And they're a lot more fun. And whereas boys know everything. They don't need you to tell them how to do things because they, you know, they're going to get better on their own. And if you blow the whistle and, you know, and end the drill, they dogpile and start shooting pucks at the walls. Whereas girls, they'll stay there and listen to you until they're ready, mm-hmm. until, you know, you're done. Probably because girls are smarter than boys. And I'm just, you know, saying that, but yeah. It's fun. I enjoy coaching all of them. How have we gotten through the pandemic has been, it was interesting because I've coached high schools while I coach high school the last couple of years, although this year I'm stepping back. And one of the things I learned coaching high school is that it's important to be yourself and not try to hide or you know, be what you aren't. Right. And I think that's translated to the kids. And when we came back from the pause after being off for a month, you know, we can try to sugarcoat it. We could say, oh, it's going to be the same, but it's not going to be the same. It's not. You're going to have to try playing with a mask. We're not going to have a lot of outings together. We're not going to have the locker room time. So, and I think, and Jess, you probably know this, kids aren't stupid. They're smart. Mm-hmm. And they know more than we give them credit for. Right. You know, and so trying to tell them, oh, it's going to be great. It'll be just the same as before. That's, you know, it's not true.
Right, coach, so, thanks.
Yeah. I'm like, this sucks. You know, the one thing I did before we got going was I did my workouts in the mask. I play hockey in the mask. So at least then I've tried it. I know it's not fun, but we do it. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, you know what? This stinks, but we're going to get through it. And I joke with the kids, you know, I was playing with a full bubble. And I'm like, I haven't done this since I was 12. You know, it's been a long time since I played with a full bubble, but you know, we're learning and we're navigating it together. And this is the way it is now. And I think you can't really try to hide what it really is because kids will see through it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about, you know, speaking of youth sports and high school sports and whatnot, the MSHSL approach the winter season a little differently than they approach that fall season as far as postseason and state tournament playoffs mm-hmm. go. They're taking a more like wait and see approach here with this winter season, whereas they nixed it right off the bat with the fall season. What do you think about that approach and kind of like what a March with no state tournament would be like if it comes down to that? I know they're trying really hard to get us one, but how weird would that be? To not have one,
it would be crazy. It would be bizarre. It would leave a hole in all of our hearts, right? I mean, yeah. Like the high school hockey tournament is so much fun. I think their wait and see approach was dictated on what happened in the fall by mm-hmm. them canceling it and then saying, "Well, wait a second." You know, people were upset, and I understand all that, and you know, that's a discussion mm-hmm. in itself. but you know, I think that they're trying to leave it open so that people can have some hope and. Yeah. Right now, maybe all we need is some hope. You know, wouldn't that be nice? It may not happen. It may not come true. But at least we can hope that maybe there's a chance these guys, you know, especially for the seniors, guys and girls, will mm-hmm. be able to finish a season and cap off their careers. Mm-hmm. And that's who I feel sorry for the most. And it's it's the high school seniors who will finish their, or have last year or will this year finish their high school careers. Whether it's sports, whether it's band, whether it's debate team, I don't care what it is. Whatever their passion is, they're not going to be able to finish it in the same way that everybody else has. And that makes me sad. And it does. And, you know, for us adults, I mean, we've had our fun. We're adults now, right?
Like, I'm still hanging my hat on that high school career
exactly.
line, right?
So we can all suck it up because we got to go through it. But I feel bad for the kids. And I'm glad that there's some hope. I don't know how realistic it is because I don't know if any of us know what tomorrow yeah. brings at this point. You know, it seems like it's changing on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, from arena to arena. You know, we have different rules yeah. to follow everywhere we go.
Yeah. Right. You know, and you had talked about the kids. They're not stupid at any age. I mean, sports do mean something to them. This is their outlet. This is their entertainment as much as it is for us too. So it is, it's sad to see the mental toll it takes on them. Us as adults maybe have more tools and more resources to kind of battle through that. Right. And it seems like the more this drags on for these poor kids, whether it's school or sports or any extracurriculars, it's challenging for them. Speaking of your kids, what do they think of dad? I know they made some pretty cool appearances while you were doing some broadcasts from home. Are they kind of over the whole, yeah, my dad's on TV thing, or is it still cool to them?
the long time ago, they've been over that. In fact, my son, we went to a hockey game last night, a high school game over here at Southwest Christian, played Waconia. We're down in Chaska. Southwest Christian is who I used to coach for. So we went over and just, you know, we got our passes. We sat in the stands with our masks away from everybody else. But, you know, he always jokes that we can never say goodbye. He said, Dad, you always tell me when it's time to go, we have to leave right now. But when it's time to go for us, you stop and talk to 10 people on the way out the door. Why do you have, you know, so he just doesn't, he gets annoyed, but he's really good. My kids are really good about understanding that while they do have to share dad a little bit, you know, with everybody, that they get the best of me and sometimes the worst, but they get the best of me, you know, when I'm home and when it's our time together and, you know, I try to make them feel as important as I can that, you know, work may take up more of my time, but it's not the most important thing in my life. My family is to me and what we have going on here. So, sometimes they think it's neat. Other times they think it's, you know, it's like, oh, great. I mean, my son certainly didn't mind when we went to a Wild game and Marty Manley and Jonas Plum brought pucks up to him. Sure. He had four pucks, including one signed from Jonas Brodin. He didn't mind that.
Right.
So he thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, they're okay with it. They actually they loved when I was at home regularly coming down and, you know, my son would sit behind the camera. And I put Evelyn, my daughter, my son Jack, and my daughter Evelyn. Evelyn would kind of watch the monitor, and you know, I'm like, okay, tell me when to go, and you know, and then I just kind of like,
then, huh?
Yeah. I'm trying to do my sportscast like with my hands like this, just to make sure nobody like jumps in the shot. And then the nice thing about our place at Care is that we are very professional, but we're also real. Yeah. And I think they're like, yeah, if your kid walks in, your kid walks in. You know, like right. That's life right now. That's what it is. And then we all started to embrace it. And then people's dogs walked in and, you know, it's just kind of, you know, it's just whatever happens.
Exactly. Was it kind of a shock to the system? I know for me, like you had said, and I think anybody in sports that has kids could relate to this, we're gone so much and you're gone at such inopportune times and you're missing out on so much. So I know being home with the kids kind of full time, I was like, ooh, okay, we're going to try this. You know, as much as I love them, that's not something that I have done really ever, you know, we were blessed to have a great daycare. I mean, was it a shock? But like you said, now it's so grateful for the opportunity and the time that you do get to spend at home while still working and while still doing parts of what you love, right?
It was a shock. I'm very much a creature of habit and I have my routine. You know, I get up at 6:30, I make breakfast for the kids. We get them out. We drive them to school. I come home, I relax, have a cup of coffee. I go work out. I come home. I have lunch, you know, like I have my routine. Yeah. And so all of a sudden it's like, yeah, that's not happening anymore. And so, you know, the nice thing is I can kind of relate because my kids are the same way. Mm-hmm. And if I don't have my time, like an hour every day, whatever it is to do my workouts or go play hockey or whatever it is, like I need that time. And it helped me realize, and you know, the funny thing about kids is they don't realize even what's going on with them sometimes. Yeah. You know, my kids were very moody and but they didn't understand they needed some sort of exercise and movement. So they started doing workouts with me in the basement. So we were working out together. You know, we'd sit down there and we'd do a little workout video and a bunch of push-ups and burpees and all this other stuff, you know, and they got into it and had fun. And they started to realize that, wait a second, when I do stuff like this, I start to feel better. You know, I can move and it takes that anxiety away and it just makes me feel a little more normal. And so now that they're back in sports again, I think they're realizing that and having fun. But it was weird, it was different but it was fun. It was, you know, it's like, especially, you know, during the summer we would go, you know, we get to go mountain biking with my son. Mm-hmm. Loves to mountain bike and my daughter was learning to ride her bike and you know, we got to go to beach days and all that stuff. Or, you know, I'd get up really early, get my work done, and we'd go fishing in the afternoon because I was home.
Yeah.
And so that was nice. So it's funny. It was a nice, my wife and I joked during the pandemic that, you know, it's awful. It's a terrible thing. And you'd never want this to happen. And I certainly would never want anyone hurt, But the time at home has been so nice together with all of us. We've never in my career spent this much time together, and they still don't want to kick me out, which is a miracle. But it's been fun and it was nice. It was kind of a silver lining to all this.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of your career, you know, Jesse mentioned, and we talked about how working in TV, working in sports, you're kind of thrown all the way around. You've got odd hours and kind of on call and whatnot. You started at CARE in 2007. What was that experience like, kind of, you know, jumping along with them and now where we're sitting in 2021? What have been some memorable moments, or what was the call like when they said you got the job?
Well, it was a dream come true. And I'd say that truly because I'd always wanted to work at CARE 11. And so my first job was in Bemidji, and I used to watch Randy Shaver do the sports every night. And I would tape his sportscast while I was on, and I would compare them and what highlights did he run and how did he intro it and do all this stuff. And I would compare it to mine. So I actually interviewed, when I first applied for the job, I didn't think I had a chance at all. I was coming from Shreveport, Louisiana, you know, market 75. Like, no way they're going to hire me in market 11. And I had a former intern in Bemidji who worked the overnight desk. And he called me up at like, it might've been 11:30 at night. And he goes, there's going to be a job opening tomorrow. I said, what are you? They're posting the sports job opening. So get your tape here. So I had an agent at the time and I called him and it was the first one they got. And so I remember talking to one of our executive producers, his name was Lonnie Hartley. He was, he called me and I'm like, is this really happening? I'm really in the running. He said, yeah, we're going to fly you up for an interview. I'm like, my mind's exploding. So I go up, I do the interview and I go through that. And then it was a month and a half
before
they actually gave me the, my wife said, she's like, in all of our 15 years of marriage, that was the worst month to be married to you. And we had just gotten married. And she's thinking like, what the heck did I do? and it was brutal. And then I got the call and I was, you know, it was a whirlwind. It was exciting. And then, my first day on the job, one of my stories, it was during the fair time and I was supposed to do a package, something Vikings related. And I edited it and I had to transfer it over to a different editing thing, whatever. And I'm like, oh, I know what I'm doing. I'm doing the Sunday Times transfer, bump, send, no problem. Well, I didn't look at it again. So Randy Shaver tosses to the package from the fair and there's no sound on it.
Oh no.
And I'm looking at the screen. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I call Randy after and I go, I don't know what happened. And you know, he's like, Randy, you know, he's like, oh, come it's on, really Rick. Bad. Da, da, da. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm sorry, Randy. He goes, yeah, it's okay. I'm like, and I called my wife and I go, honey, have you packed up the apartment yet? Don't. We may be coming back. So that was probably one of my worst days on the job. It was like one of the first two or three there. So
rough. That is rough. Louisiana, then how have you adjusted to the cold in the winter? How's the wifey adjusted to the
She actually likes it now. So she's from Arkansas originally. I'm from New York. I'm used to the snow. And I'd say the cold, although we haven't really had that cold of a winter. It's been kind of nice this year, but
except for this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and now it's getting really bad. I kept saying last week to our meteorologist, he's like, oh, look at this 30s, 40s. I'm like, we're going to get kicked in the teeth in February. We knew it was coming.
Yeah.
So she's adjusted. She likes it. She's, we have a pond. So she's really like, you know, we have Christmas lights down at the pond and she's got the, you know, the sign that goes on the front door. If we're not here, go to the pond. You know? Random people sometimes show up. So she's adjusted really well to it. She's really enjoyed the changing of the seasons, she says, because there's only one season in Arkansas and Louisiana and it's brutal. It's hot all the time.
Yeah.
And so she's enjoyed it. I obviously enjoy it. Although I will say the older I get, the less I enjoy getting rid of snow. So I'm glad that my son and my daughter are getting good at shoveling. So yeah, it's, she likes it. And she knew, you know, when she said like, I knew when I married you, we were going to have to move north because you love hockey. So it was just going to go that way. So she knew it was coming, but yeah, she's adjusted pretty well.
Speaking of then your love for hockey, your dream was to be a center for the New York Rangers, was it not? So can you bust out there and help the Minnesota Wild maybe?
They're hurting up the middle
a little bit, if you didn't know that.
Well, and if they have a couple more guys going COVID protocol, they might need me. Yeah. I said I'm a really good seventh line center.
You'll fit right in. I think you'll fit right in.
I would be so frightened. There was probably a time in my life that I thought, man, you know, I'd probably give it a go. Or when I was in Louisiana, actually, there was a CHL team there, the Bossier Shreveport Mudbugs.
Which is great awesome.
Name. An amazing name.
It's awesome. And I still have a couple of their jerseys too. It's great. But they didn't know, nobody in that town knew anything about hockey. So when I came in and knew hockey, everybody on the team and the GM and the, you know, I'd be like, I became really, really good friends with them. So they invited me to try out for a day with these guys. And these are CHL guys. And sure. They're still, I'm going, what? I mean, the shots, the speed, even the guys who are, you know, the checking line are 10 times faster than me. So I was just trying to survive and not get killed. And it was fun. But I remember going, yep, this is really how far I am away of ever being even remotely close to a professional hockey player.
That's well, fair. We've got E-Bugs. If we have an E-Buck, an emergency backup center, you're saying don't put you on the list anyway? You
know if you can Twitter. Handle it?
Yeah, did like, you? I didn't even see that.
I said, make
oh, my
the
gosh.
E-buck.
There awesome. We go.
Said, well, there's no traffic right now. I can do the X in like a half hour.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really – I don't have to warm up. I'm not going to be any better or worse if I'm warm. Just
well, and there's no conflict of interest. You're not a Zamboni driver, right? So, I mean, what do you have to lose, right?
It'd be brutal if I had to play for the other team, though. You know, yeah.
That would be tough.
Because there's some guys on the Wild that would probably absolutely take a run at me and love
it. I saw that story you did, Schwartz.
Yeah, I remember you. Yep.
Yeah. Well, you said that, you know, being a hockey player was a dream for a while. When did the dream of being a broadcaster emerge into your life? Was it something that you thought about as a kid, or did it not happen until you got a little bit older?
I never thought about being a broadcaster, though. Like if you look back at my childhood, and I used to always be the one who would chronicle our events with home movies.
Yeah.
And so like it makes sense. But I actually didn't even think about doing broadcasting until I got into college. I went to a small Division III school in Western New York, Hobart and William Smith Colleges. And I went there because the coach liked me and said I probably had a good shot to make the hockey team. And so I went and I did all the tryouts and I got cut the first day. So then it was like, all right, well, now what? And I remember meeting the GM of the radio station and at the orientation. And he said, well, are you interested? And I'm like, yeah, maybe it'd be fun. But, you know, I'm a hockey player and I'm going to end up playing hockey. He said, okay.
I'm going to be a center for the New York Rangers.
Step aside. So I'm going to be a D3 guy going center for it. So just easy on that.
Yeah.
And so I ended up going and I called some football games, did play-by-play because he said, well, what do you know about football? And I said, well, I was a member of our team for 4 years. He goes, so you know well? I said, yeah, I watched games every week. I never got in. I just watched them from the sidelines. So I'm really good at, you know, recognizing the action. So I called football games and then I ended up calling some hockey games and I really loved play-by-play for ice hockey because it's just – it's an immersive experience, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, Alexis, you know, it's just like,
it's about
you're in it. Yeah, you're in it. And it's so much fun to be able to call the action, you know, just, you know, brain to mouth mm-hmm. and go. And the team won 4 games in 4 years.
Oh.
So that's how bad I was. But it was fun. I loved it. And I ended up calling every single sport, men and women mm-hmm. over the course of the 4 years for the radio, doing my own radio show. And so that's when I knew my GM had said to me, you know, you're good at this, but the money's in television. So go into TV.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So I went to Syracuse and got my broadcast degree and then went into television. So
how was your time at Syracuse? I lived there for about a year covering their lacrosse team and actually all of the lacrosse teams around in that area, which are quite a few. Did you have a possibilities there when you were there?
Okay. Possibilities is where I took I took my wife for our first date. I did.
Oh, wow.
I just ordered their tomato hot oil and had it like delivered. I paid way too much. Like that's I'm awesome. Embarrassed to say how much I paid, but I was like, I kind of want that. Like I need that. And so it's available on Amazon if you need it.
Yes. So we went there and I pulled up on our first date and I said, and I surprised her and I go, see, I took you to your favorite place. And she said, I've never been here. I'm like, what do you mean? Your friends told me like this was your favorite place. I don't tell you, I've never been.
Oh great. My gosh.
And we still made it. So
yeah, there you go.
That's awesome.
Syracuse was fun. I enjoyed Syracuse a lot. I enjoyed, it was nice to, it was a 1 year program. It's where I met my wife. It was nice to go to school for something that I really loved, which was broadcasting and television broadcasting. So, you know, my undergraduate degree is actually in economics. And so that was not fun, but it was what I was good at statistics. And so I'm like, all right, I'll just get an economics degree. And then, so it was nice to go to school for something different and enjoy that.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of radio, we talked about how you did a little radio there in college. What do you know about Kevin Faulness? Let's air all that beef out right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, let's go. Let's talk about Faulness. Let's talk about Myers.
What I've done to him, that he, and this now his newest thing is every time I say something on Twitter, he saves these pictures of me. He must have a computer full of screenshots of me. Which is
it's
really
all
disturbing.
In his phone. He showed us. He was on all like yeah. you and Halverson and anybody that in Audra. He's got it. Everyone. There is yeah. no one is safe in Faulness's.
That phone will be evidence. At some point. Let's just leave it at that. I actually have had people who have. People who work in the organization, I'll leave it there, who have sent me pictures of Faulness for ammo. So now I have a folder on my desktop of Faulness.
I love that everyone's just like teaming together to like make this happen. Like yes. Faulness does yes. something to somebody and everyone's like, okay, here's what you can do to get back at Faulness. Like everyone's yep. on board with it.
He loves to, you know,
he's an instigator.
The thing is, he is an instigator. And I actually met Kevin for the first time in like 2000 and when the Wild first came back. And,
oh, sure,
and so
sure.
they did their tours in 2001 and 2002, and I was in Bemidji. And so he was up there. So I've known him for a long, long time.
He was with Zucker. That's where his whole thing started out, right?
Yeah, his quote-unquote friends, right? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where it all started. I love it, though. I love Kevin and Dan. And it just, you know, like that's the hockey culture. Maybe yeah. it's any sports culture, but I, you know, that it's if you really like someone, you give them hell, you yeah. know? So that's why, like, maybe it was last year or 2 years ago, we were in the locker room and I was with one of our newer photographers and we walked in and Jason Zucker screams out, "Oh my gosh, Schwartz is here. Isn't there a bigger story today than this? There must be some bigger news than you." And my photographer's mortified. And we left and he goes, "What did you do to that guy? Like, why does he?" I go, no, we're friends. He goes, "Your friends?" I'm like, yeah, that's what you do. You give each other poop suit. I don't know if I
no,
can.
You can. You can. You can. Say it. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. great.
Let it fly, Dave.
Yeah. I think that's a testament to the Minnesota sports community and the Minnesota hockey community. Like you said, mm-hmm. I'm sure there's these pockets of it across the country and across the world with sports, but I think Minnesota hockey community is just so special because everybody knows everybody. We're seeing each other at professional games, high school games, mm-hmm. college games. I mean, it is such like an interwoven web of a community that you can't really go anywhere and not see somebody you worked with somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes it so fun. Yep. And then we get these interactions on social media where social media can be a terrible place, but things like this make it so much fun to log on and see your coworkers.
Well, I love watching you guys go at it.
It's I'm great. Like, yeah, it's the best part of my day. Except when Faulness posts pictures of his feet. I could go without yeah. that because I'm like, I literally work with this man and I see pictures of his feet on the internet.
I've
it's
missed
a little
those,
too much.
Thank goodness. You know what? And I appreciate all the guys, especially on the Wild, specifically because when I feel like if they understand you know the game, mm-hmm. you get a much better side of them. And there's a lot of guys, and you can name as many, and I'm sure you know this, but it's not the same in other professional sports.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't care what you know. You're just the enemy. They don't want you. You know, you're like, get out. You know, yeah. just get what you need and get out. And not to say that there's not good athletes that I've covered in all of those sports, because certainly there are. But with hockey guys, it's different. When they know you're into the game, when they know you know the game well, play it, coach it, whatever, you just get a different side. And I always appreciate that. And that franchise has been very, very good to me over the years. So, and that goes, and I love now that Billy Guerin is there because yeah. Billy Guerin is just like that. And he's a ball buster and he's a great guy and he knows the game and loves to chat about it. And his honesty is so refreshing. Mm-hmm. That we've never had in a general manager in that yeah. franchise at all. Not even close.
Right. Have you seen, I mean, let's dive into a little bit of Wild talk here.
Let's do it.
Have you seen a culture change, if you will, since Bill has arrived? I mean, from your perspective, I know Alexis and I mm-hmm. have talked about it in length and have seen a shift and even in naming Jared Spurgeon captain and in getting some of those new faces. Do you feel and see that culture change happening and why will that help them be successful?
I do. I have said this a number of times. Bill Guerin, when he came here, made it clear very quickly that he likes everybody. He wants to like everybody, but he's not here to make friends. Right. He's here to win. And he wants to make this franchise better. And I actually last year, and I remember this so clearly, when it was right after they traded Zucker and Zach Parise.
It was this time last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Parisi skated in his 1,000th game, and it was his silver stick ceremony. Mm-hmm. And they make the announcement, and ladies and gentlemen, here's Craig Leopold. Yeah. And here's Bill Guerin. And it's silent. And Guerin just brilliantly goes, you know, just like, okay, whatever, you know. Like,
sorry, guys. Just,
yeah. And I got such a kick out of it because one of the things is that, like, it was a good deal. The Zucker trade was a good trade. And no one, I'm sure there are people sad. I was very, very sad Jason Zucker got traded because I got to know him and to be friendly with him, maybe even more so than I should have. But we just, he and I clicked, you know, and I just, so we became friendly. And, but it was good for the franchise and in so many ways because it got them, you know, some cap space. And then now they're going to be able to pay Kaprizov because we know we got to pay him and make sure that he's here for 50 years and all that good stuff. And so, but he's here to win and he's not afraid to make the deals that need to be made. And it wasn't popular and it did seem lopsided at the time, but he's setting up this franchise in the future. And I think that starts also with naming Jared Spurgeon captain because Jared is very, very well respected in that locker room. Excuse me. There are other players in there that probably could have been named it and we'll leave it at that, but they're not as well respected as Jared Spurgeon is in that locker room. And that's important. It's important for a coach and a GM to have a guy that they know will be their other arm in that locker room. And because you know, coaches and GMs, you can only talk so much and guys will stop listening. But if it's coming from another player or a team, you know, teammate, line mate, it's different. So I just, I like the decisions he's made. I really do. And I think it's what amazes me is that this team looks so different in 2021 than it did in 2020 or 2019. And they did that without a wholesale sell-off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They did it through, you know, quote unquote tweaks, which is what Craig Leopold said. We're just going to make some tweaks. And we're all like, yeah, whatever, Craig. There's no way you're making tweaks with the salary cap issues that you have. Yeah. Well, they've done it. They've made all. Now, there's still some players away, but they have managed to make this team look completely different through, you know, bringing other guys up, through drafting, through some trades. And it's a completely different franchise now moving forward over the next couple of years. And he's done it just by little moves here and there. And so I think that's impressive in itself.
So now that we've seen, you know, the Wild and this new team and these changes in action over the course of the last couple of weeks here, what are you thinking about this Minnesota Wild team? I think playoff hopes were kind of questionable before the season because we just didn't know what to expect. Now that we've seen them a little bit, unfortunately, they're on pause now for the next week or so. But what have you seen out of the Wild? What have you liked and not liked?
Well, obviously I love Kirill Kaprizov. We all do.
How could you not?
This is the fan club. I think, Alexa, I think you said this on a podcast a couple weeks ago, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's so right that he moves so fast. He moves the puck so quickly that the team's not ready for it at this point.
Yeah.
Like he's still got to get that chemistry.
You need a line mate to keep up with
him. Yeah. And it's going to happen and then it's going to be amazing. But I think, you know, depth wise, this is probably one of the deepest offensively that they've had in a while. I don't think it's the best top end, but I think, let me say this differently. I don't think it's their best first line.
Sure.
But I do think lines 3 and 4 are probably some of the better that they've had in a long time. I mean, you think like Marcus Foligno is playing fourth line minutes. He's a legit good player. You know, not only is he willing to do the dirty stuff and dig in, but he can score goals. Jordan Greenway has made huge strides since last season. And, you know, Bill Guerin telling him, listen, this has got to be it. And he's playing great. They need some consistency, like always. They're going to need some depth at defense. I'm really interested to see if Cale Addison ever comes up because I'm excited about him. I don't understand why he's not on the taxi squad, at least at this point. I feel like maybe he would be a better addition than others. And I think Cam Talbot is, and I think you said this last week, a couple weeks ago, like he's kind of Devin Dubnyk 2.0. He doesn't seem a whole lot different, except in the first couple games, he is able to bounce back after a couple of bad goals. And I always felt like when Doobie let in a bad one, it's like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah.
Which meant then the Wild went, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's 6-3, you know, losing. Whereas, you know, I think it was the games in California, which ones are which, I don't know. I was staying up to 1 o'clock in the morning to watch them. But he'd let up a goal or two in the first and second, and then he'd go scoreless.
Tighten
in the
it down.
To get to overtime. That's, to me, that's really key. And it's what makes him a slight better upgrade than that, I think. So I like the team. There's a lot of pieces. I'm excited about, I was reading an article today on how in The Athletic about how this, their prospects are like, one is like the eighth best.
It's the eighth best right in now. Yeah.
And then I'm like, really? And I'm like, wow, you know, Rossi, when he gets here, is going to be great. Matthew Boldy is going to be amazing when he gets here. And the list goes on of guys. Cale Addison was on the list. I mean, there's a lot of really good guys coming up through the system here that within the next couple of years, should they be able to pay everybody and keep them, that are going to make a big, big difference. So I really am, and maybe I'm an eternal optimist, but I'm super excited about, I don't know about this year, but maybe the year after, and maybe even after that, that there is something coming here that's going to be good for this team.
I would say put it on the line. Are they making the playoffs this year or not?
Now you have to refresh my memory. How many from each? How many from each? Is it one?
There's
from
four
each
spots from the Honda West that will go into the playoffs, and then it advances from there. So do you think they make the Honda West playoffs?
Well, I mean, it's not really a bold prediction. I'll say yes, but they're going to lose in the first round. And that always happens.
Come on now.
I just don't want it to be to Chicago again.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
I'm so tired of them losing to Chicago.
It'll be to Colorado, but.
Well, it's going to, it really will depend on who stays healthy and who stays out of COVID protocol. I mean, that's it. You know, we saw what a difference it made for Colorado to not have Nathan McKinnon. You know, that was a huge difference one game, although they won with him out of the next game. But if the Wild can't get consistent, you know, guys together and playing together, and who knows what happens after you miss time with COVID. We're seeing some, it affects other people differently. You know, it's really scary to think about what's happening to Marco Rossi right now, having to go back home because he's dealing with this. And so we have no idea what's going to happen on the other side of this. So ultimately it's going to come down to who can stay the healthiest. So, I like some of their depth. I don't love the taxi squad because all of a sudden it's like, okay, why are these guys up here and they're playing against these guys from the Avalanche? So I think they'll make it. I think they squeak in, but it's going to be tough to last in the postseason.
Classic Wild on the bubble at the end of the season. Not much has changed.
Always. So do you like the Caprizi line? Explain that. You have Kaprizov and Parisi. We've seen some movements. Who do you think should be playing with Kirill Kaprizov? And what would be, you know, I think that's part of it, right? The Wild have never put together one solid dominant line like the Avs have of Landeskog and McKinnon and Ratnan. I would love to see Minnesota try to do that. But what does that look like? It's Kaprizov and
I would love Kaprizov with Parisi and Fiala. I think that combo is, I mean, that's your top three right there. Yeah. You know, it's nice to try to put a Nick Bjugstad in there, and Nick's great, but he didn't.
You've got a grinder, a passer, and a shooter, and all in that one line. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Well, and it's nice too, because Fiala can handle it and Kaprizov can handle it. Both of them have great shots. And then you got Parisi who can lock down the front and get those rebounds if needed. I feel like sometimes Kaprizov is trying to endear get in better with his teammates and passing more when I'd like
so
him to
much
just
passing.
Like,
shoot the puck,
dude. Yeah. You know, like in the Colorado game, when he takes that shot against Hunter Miska, local kid. I mean, he fits it in a window like this big and he hit the post. But if he made that, you know, everyone's like,
that's
oh my
reel.
Gosh, you know, this is crazy. So I just want him to shoot the puck more. You know, and just dazzle us a little bit. I think he's holding back. I feel like he's either been told or believes, well, the things you did in the KHL, you can't do here. Bull spit. I mean, that kid's incredible. And Connor McDavid tells you that's not true because that guy does things that you wouldn't even believe. Now, I'm not going to compare Kaprizov to Connor McDavid, but you can do those things if you have the talent. And he has the ability to ad lib and change things. And his vision is incredible. His footwork is amazing. He plays the whole end of the ice. You know, he back checks better than maybe any other forward on the team. So I love the way he plays, and I would love to see him and Fiala get kind of get on the same page mentally. Because I think we're going to see some unbelievable plays between those two guys. And Parisi can kind of be along there to clean it up when there's, you know, when you face a real good goaltender or a bad one who doesn't have good rebound control. I like, that's my three. If you're going to put three guys together for a dream team, it's those three.
I like it. Final, Kirill Kaprizov, is he your Calder champion or Calder trophy claimer?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. There we go.
We're all biased and I'd still like to see him. I think more goals are coming and that's why I think so. I mean, based on what he's done so far, he's impressed me quite a bit. I'm trying to think of some of the other guys who might be
Tim
a protein.
Tim Stutzel,
Lafreniere.
Yeah, Lafreniere is going to have, I grew up a Ranger fan. Mm-hmm, so yeah. I still think New York is a really tough town to break into.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
And so it's going to be like, okay, he's going to go a couple games without scoring and people are going to be like, well, what the heck, you know, come on. And you're in all the
Rangers got some stuff going on. They got some stuff going
they
on.
They do,
out there.
Some no internal.
Maybe, don't they always, it's always New York.
Teams, yeah.
They always have stuff going on. But here, you know, Kaprizov, you know, we're, he had what, a goal and a six assists or something like in his first month. We're like, yay, 7 points, way to go. I mean, we'd like it to be 7 goals and 7 assists, but we'll take one
goal. I said he'll have
30
goals this year. That's what I'm laying it down.
He easily could.
30.
He easily could. Because he's going to have multiple goal games. There's just no doubt about it. When he's a shooter guy. Like when he feels it, forget it. You know, he may have 2 and 3 goal games or a Marian Gabrick. You know, 6-goal performance or 5-goal performance against Phoenix way
Rangers,
back in the day.
Actually, your Rangers.
Was it against the Rangers?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
He had one against Phoenix, too, because I remember. Because it might have been 5 goals against Phoenix because Gretzky was the head coach.
Oh, okay.
And it was the – so Gretzky was my – do I have time for another quick story? Am I approaching Bruce Boudreau territory yet? Gretzky was my idol growing up. I loved Wayne Gretzky. And he was the head coach of the Phoenix Coyotes for a short period of time. And they were here playing the Wild. I wasn't working that day, but Eric Perkins was. And he called me and he goes, hey, do you want to go down and get post game and talk to Gretzky? And I'm like, already out the door. I'm like, yes, I'm going. And my wife goes, where are you going? I go, Gretzky. And I just ran. So I got in the car and I think I went like 100 miles an hour to get to the X. And so the game's over. You know, they've gotten their butt handed to them. The Wild crushed them, of course. Like the one game they win is when I don't care.
Yeah.
So I'm standing in the visiting media room and there's like me and maybe 3 other beat writers and, you know, that's it. Mm-hmm. And I'm with my photographer who's laughing hysterically at me because I'm holding the mic and I'm sweating so badly from my palms. It's dripping down my arms. I mean, it's just disgusting.
Gosh.
But I'm sweating and shaking. And he comes in the room and I mean, it's like out of body experience. And I'm like, okay, you're going to ask a question about Mary. Just ask a question about Marian Gabrick. Was he impressed with his performance? Was Marian Gabrick impressed with his performance? You're going to ask. So after everybody else asks their question, the PR guy's like, any more? I go, and I'm screaming in my head, ask a question about Marian Gabrick. Just put the words together. And Gretzky's so nice. He's like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, oh God, I'm going to blow this. Just let something come out of your mouth. And I said, how impressed by Marian Gabrick were you? And that was it. And he answered the question very nicely and then just kind of walked away. And I'm like, oh gosh.
Who's that guy?
That may be, yeah, right. Like, can we not let the home media into these press conferences anymore?
See, that is 100% going to be me if and when I get the chance to interview John Tortorella, except John Tortorella will not be as nice. He will absolutely lay into me if I ask a question.
Oh,
stuttering as much as you did.
I will tell you what he's done with me is he looks to see and he sees it's a girl. And I do think he softens his tone. Like, he wanted to tear into me with one question and he was like, no. And like left and I was like,
Porks
okay.
is no joke. He is he cracks me up. Alexis, I know that you have a fondness for Tortorella because I do too. And his quotes are is legendary. You'd be braver than me because I probably wouldn't.
I always say I want to get bullied by Torts. Like, it is one of my goals in my media, like sports career, to have John Tortorella yell at me in front of a lot of people during a press conference. I want it to happen. Like, I adore him so much. He's so unique and so like old school coach. Like, I love what he does.
I was like terrified.
Not to compare him to Wayne Gretzky though. We get a Wayne Gretzky story. I'm like John Tortorella. Yeah, not the same.
Speaking of the greatest player ever, John Tortorella is amazing, right?
None of us are ever prepared when we get screamed at. So the fact that you want it and like, he's probably going to get a run for his money because whatever he's going to ask you and you're going to be like, oh, really, Torts? Well, what about boom, 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 boom?
Yeah.
Because I've been planning this for a decade. Yeah. So I'm ready.
I'm going to be sweating, getting ready to talk to Torts like you were getting ready to talk to the greatest
hockey
player.
We're all going to be there the next time Columbus comes to the X. We're all together. Dave, you're going to be there. We're going to watch Alexis in her shining moment.
It'll
and
be
you'll
a big
get it because we're all going to be ready for the Miko Koivu angle. And you're going to be like, yeah, I'll go get Torts.
True.
Us, let's talk to Miko about coming back home. You know? Yeah, no thanks. I want Torts.
Minnesota, just so classic. Well,
we love it. We love us some us. That's right.
I know. I love it. Well, thank you so much. I know you got to go get get your kids, but we appreciate your time. And you do, I think so. You know, I'm trying to be respectful. As much as we'd love to chat.
School.
I know. They probably are like, please, Dad, it's a Friday. Let's get the heck out of here, right?
Oh, yeah, they'll be ready to go.
But thank you so much. We love seeing you around. We love seeing where can people follow you on Twitter and any good stories that they should tune in and check out by Mr. Dave Schwartz.
No good stories coming up. I don't have anything right now. No, I'm just kidding. You can follow me at Dave_Schwartz or just go to Kevin Faulness's timeline and he tags me on everything that he does. And
that's where I'm stealing all of your
picture.
Like graphics for like this is our guest this week, by the way. Just
go to good. I can't wait for those. It's the pointing one, another pointing one, and then he loves the one of me jumping when I'm in a split when I was on the Saturday show with the some high school drum line. They're like, jump up and do a split, and I'm like, I can't, but I'll try. And it felt like it was a split, but it was really just like right here. Dave_Schwartz. And I'm trying to think of some fun stories we have coming up. There's a couple of good ones that I'm working on in the next couple of weeks. Story about a dad and a son who have started a hockey lifestyle clothing company, which is really fun. They started it as kind of like a little fun business project for the dad to teach his kid, and it's blown up. And so we're going to do a story on him here in the next couple of weeks. So that'll be a really fun one. I think in 2 weeks, we're going to do that one. So that'll be fun.
I love it. We'll be on the lookout. Well, Dave, thanks again. You enjoy the rest of your day. We're going to take a quick break.
Thank you, ladies.
Calling all beauts, our Bar Down Beauties Teespring line has everything to help make you an official beaut, whether it's waking up with a hot cup of coffee from a Bar Down Beauties mug, rocking our Land of 10,000 Beauts crew neck, or tossing an official logo on your water bottle. We want to make you an official part of our team. So support the beauts with the purchase. Go buy something right now. Love you guys.
We're back. Thanks again to Mr. Dave Schwartz. He's awesome. We could have easily had like a 2-hour long episode with him. Yeah. So we'll have him back.
Obviously.
We'll have him back like 3 more times before Dan Myers ever gets on the show.
Yeah.
So
we should bring him and Kevin Faulness on the
him
same
and Faulness
episode
together.
And surprise each other. Yeah.
I mean, you and I will not have a say in anything.
We'll moderate.
Really. We'll just be, we'll be there to moderate. Yeah. We'll take screenshots for both of them to use accordingly. I think that's what we got to do. So thank you again, Dave. Be sure to check him out on Kara Lovin. He's got some great content always coming out. Always happy, always positive. I love that. I love to watch it. So shout out to him and his family. This week's up for a debate. Sorry, guys. We get it. You didn't like it. Whatever.
Yeah,
fine.
Big
it's
flop.
Cool.
Although, to be fair, there was a lot happening that day. And
there was
happening
that day.
I went
so
back.
Much.
I was like, did that tweet even go out? I was like, I swear I scheduled that. And I went back and looked. I was like, oh, okay. This was the day that everything went to hell. So that
was. It was between
why.
The pauses and the bubbles and then Women in Sports Day. And
it was.
We dropped the ball. We dropped the ball.
We can still talk about it, but none of you cared. It's okay.
None of you cared. Frankly, it was a tough one anyway. We kind of reached a little bit. We went with the best goal celly in the NHL, right? Which it's hard because guys mix it up from time to time. You don't really have a whole lot that are very consistent. We obviously naturally are drawn to Eric Staal or really every Staal. It's funny.
Any
I think Sarah Sivian and I had this conversation last year because Jordan Staal does the wide open mouth thing. Eric Staal does the wide open mouth thing. I'm sure Mark Staal does the wide open mouth thing. So that's a trait that everyone loved. That's what I loved about Eric Staal playing for the Minnesota Wild was you thought it was his first goal every time he freaking scored. So it was pretty cool. Alex Ovechkin, though, on the other hand, very astute, very Russian, if you will. When you know, although there's sometimes you get the leap and sometimes you get, he mixes it up. And then Austin Matthews, because Alexis likes Austin Matthews. I don't really know that.
Well, and he's got, let's get into this. All right. First of all,
is it the stash? I don't know.
Hashtag Stan the Stash. Never forget. But I spelled his name wrong in the graphic. So it's probably good this one flopped because everyone would have came for me. And no, I didn't spell it I-N instead of O-N. I just transposed two of the letters in the middle of his name. So it was a mess.
Transposed.
Thank you.
Look at even Fred chimed in on that one. That was good.
But when I thought of Austin Matthews, so the other option I was thinking was Patrick Kane, but I literally can't. I don't like the Chicago Blackhawks, so I just
couldn't do
it.
You guys all would have came for us for that if you had even noticed this went out because you didn't. So apparently we would have been safe.
Panarin was another one. He's got some good celebrations. But the Austin Matthews goal that I always think of is when he imitated Wes McCauley when he did the motion towards the goal when he scored.
Yeah.
That was the one that I always think of when I think of like really good goal celebrations, at least from the modern day, because it was just so funny. Yeah. Austin Matthews – probably one of my favorites. And just like, I feel like the younger guys have really good celebrations too, because they feel like it matters more to them. Yeah. I don't know. They do. They have a lot of fun with it. So,
you know what? So we don't even need to pick between those guys. We just went over their celebrations. Forget about that. Forget about it. Sorry. Up for debate. Whatever. We failed you. Canceled. Guys this week, probably. What is the best? I'm going to start because I'm so excited because it's still one of my favorites. Like, what's the best goal celebration you've seen? And whether that's NHL or college or NWHL, I always go back to one that lives in my head rent-free is when Mikko Koivu stole Bobby Ryan's stick.
Oh, yeah.
And so Bobby Ryan had nothing else to do. And this was, God, I don't know how long ago, a while ago, like Bobby Ryan was still with the Ducks. So it was, I mean, it was quite a bit ago. And so Bobby Ryan just picks up Mikko's stick and is like, okay, scores with Mikko Koivu's stick and then like sets it down and is like, here you go. And it's just, it's the funniest thing. And so that's not quite a goal celebration, but it is like, it's a great like slap in the face, like suck on that Koivu. Like it was just so funny. It was just so perfect in his facial expression, everything about it. That is one like post goal moment that I'm just always like, God, that was so good. That was so well done. And again, that has a whole bunch of sequence to it that makes it so great. But
I totally forgot about that one. That is a good one.
I think about it way more than I should. I'm not really sure why. Because honest to God, it was probably like 10 years ago. Like it was a very long time ago, but it was so epic, like so legendary.
I think one of my favorites, also Mikko Koivu related, this was from a while ago too. So I don't know if most people will probably remember this, but when Mikko Koivu broke his leg, this was like what, like 12 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. He broke his leg and it was against the Vancouver Canucks. Something happened where I think the guy slashed him or something and broke a part of his leg. Mm-hmm. And the first game that he came back against the Vancouver Canucks, he scored and he skated past their bench and just screamed in all of their faces as he skated by. And I still, because that was hashtag bring back the Northwest Division. That was Northwest Division days. I hated the Vancouver Canucks. I was mad that they had hurt Mikko Koivu. And I just love, because Mikko Koivu was very stoic, right? Like he's, you know, he's passionate, but he's stoic. And so to see him just like rail into the guys,
like actually have emotion, right?
Yes. No. I was like, love that storybook ending too, score against the team that had hurt you. So that one was good. But I also do love the Austin Matthews point towards the motion for the goal. That's celebration. A good
one. I do have one more because now that I'm thinking about it again, very old because I'm very old. It was Phil Kessel scores his first goal with the Gophers against University of Wisconsin, which is also happening this weekend.
Yeah.
And Phil Kessel, obviously a Wisconsin native, the Badgers were all pissed. They were chirping him the entire game. The student section was going mad because they're in Madison there. And Kessel scores and does the jersey pop of the M and then puts his hand to his ear to listen to the crowd. And that was also, I love rubbing it in. I love scoring a goal and just being like, what's up? I just think those are my favorite. They're very cocky. I love cocky.
Yes, the cocky celebrations are prime time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let us know, since you guys didn't partake in our first time around.
We're kind of rude, honestly. It's fine. It's not like I slaved away to make that graphic. It's fine. We're fine. We're over it.
Let us know what your favorite goal, Sally, is, whether you have your own. Maybe there's, you know, shooting the ducks thing going on. I don't know. Whatever floats your boat. Let's see it. I want to challenge you guys to share those with us. Right now, though, that'll do it for this week's episode. Again, thank you to our presenting sponsor, SodaStick. Shout out to Manscaped. You can use 20% off, or excuse me, code Buttes for 20% off and free shipping. Use code BARDOWNBEAUTIES at SodaStick for free shipping. Thanks to Talk North for hosting us on their lovely podcast. Thank you to Dave Schwartz for joining us. Thanks to all of you guys. You're all very awesome and special. We love you. Thanks to Fred. Thanks to Alexis. That'll do it. We'll be back next week. Have a good one. New. Ah!